So hey, so this morning we are going to be in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. So if that's where you are going right now, go ahead and get that out, get that ready. And that's where we're going to be camping out this morning. Is everybody on their way there or almost there or there? Raise your hand if you are there. Raise your hand if you're there. Raise your hand if you are almost there. The verse is Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. And so with small groups coming up and kind of sign-ups still open, I know that we talked a little bit about groups and the importance of small groups last week. Okay? So we talked about the importance of small groups last week, the fact that our goal as believers should be to just look more and more like Jesus. And so in that, our goal to look more like Jesus, I think, can happen a lot better for us while we're in community with one another. Whenever we're in a group with other people who are holding us accountable, encouraging us, praying for us. And the best part about small groups, too, is that you guys, we have awesome, awesome leaders. We have awesome leaders who care for you guys, who love you guys, who want to hang out, get to know you, and really just answer questions and help you guys out anytime that they can. And so here's the other thing, though, too. I think in a group of people, sometimes there can be issues, all right? And so here's, I think, one thing that that small groups help us out with. I think small groups force us to look like Jesus because we have to deal with other people. And so in dealing with other people, we have to work out things that are in us, like maybe our pride or selfishness or our own desires. And really, I think that small groups push us to think of others above ourselves, which is something that Christ calls us to. He calls us to humility. He calls us to putting others above our own needs and our own desires. And so in that also, I think, comes this big word that we use a lot, and it's forgiveness. How many of you guys think you know exactly what forgiveness means? You think you know exactly what forgiveness means? All right, yeah, what does it mean? What do you got, Ella? So she said the kind of the gist of where she went with that was forgetting about what somebody did that was against you. I think that's pretty close. I think that's good. Anybody else, what do you think you know what forgiveness means? Like, because I think we use that a lot. We use that word a lot. Like, oh, I forgive you, or oh, I need forgiveness, or you need to forgive that person. But what do you guys think it really looks like to forgive someone? Yeah, say it loud. What do you got? Like a second chance. Yeah, that's also a really good definition. And so I want us to dig into Scripture this morning and look at what forgiveness looks like, because I think that even if you feel like you have the perfect group of friends, right, you're going to experience either conflict, or maybe somebody says something or something happens, right? Have any of you ever been in a situation where your group of friends, where something happened and maybe somebody was hurt or upset, or like everybody's hand should be in the air? Like, this is either your friends or your family. Like, how many of you have ever had your feelings hurt before, or like somebody has done something against you, right? Okay, good. Everybody's hands are in the air. Perfect. Because we all live around other things known as humans. And so we experience things where we get hurt, or where we just end up in a situation where we feel like, man, how could I ever move on from this? How could I recover from this? And so here we go, Matthew 18. This is called the parable of the unmerciful servant. The parable of the unmerciful servant. So here we go, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" So here, stop right there really fast. So I feel like this is a question that I would ask my own mom, of like, because I think about my own brother, like my legitimate brother, and how many times I got so upset with him as like a little kid. And he was just doing like, I'm not touching you. Just doing things where I was annoyed, right? How many of you have like a little brother or a little sister? There we go. How many of you have ever been upset with them? Yes. Okay. Like everybody. That's their job. That's little sister and little brother's job, to make you mad. And so in this moment, I remember just like being so frustrated, and my mom continuously saying, "Hey, well, you need to forgive your brother. You need to let this go. You need to give him another chance." And I got to this point where I was like, okay, no, like how many times is too many times? And I think we ask that question a lot, not just with our brother or with our sister, siblings, but with our friends too. So Peter comes to Jesus and asks him, and you think, you got to know right now, like right off the bat, that this question doesn't just like come out of nowhere. It's like Peter has to have someone in mind, right? It's like whenever you ask a question that's for like a friend, like, so hypothetically, if someone like stole $20 out of my wallet, Mom, would it be okay if I punched them in the face? And immediately it's like, okay, this is not a hypothetical question. Somebody legitimately did this to you, and the answer is still no, do not hit them. So Peter obviously has a question. Like, he's got somebody in the back of his mind that's probably made him upset, and he's like, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive this guy before I let him have it? And so here's the great thing, is that Peter's asking this question of Jesus, and Jesus responds with a story. And so I'm gonna read this for us this morning. So he says, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And he goes, up to 7 times? So he's already got like a limit set here. He's like, I'm at 4, 3 more times, I'm gonna explode. This isn't happening. So Jesus answered, verse 22, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And you have to think at this point, Peter's like, oh, dang it. Like he was hoping for, once he gets to 7, then you light him up. The answer is no, Peter. He goes, not 7 times, but 77 times. And some other translations actually have 77 times 7, or 70 times 7, which is a lot. So therefore, verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. So for the sake of illustration this morning, we'll just say like $10,000. $10,000 this morning was brought to him. He said, you owe me $10,000. Verse 25, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So here we go. First part of this, we'll stop right there. This guy walks in, the king summons this dude in, and he's like, hey, you owe me a lot of money, like $10,000. So much money right now. You owe me all of this money. And the servant comes in and he's like, I don't have it. Like, I don't have this money to give to you. I don't have this stuff to repay you the debt that was owed to you. And so the king looks at him and he says, all right, well, you don't have the money, so not only are we going to lock you up, but we're going to lock up like your wife and your kids and your dog Fifi and your cat and your hamster, and everybody is going to jail. Like, we're going to lock them up and you're going to be there until you can repay the debt to me. And so this guy, he like drops to his knees and he begged, I will pay back everything. The servant's master then took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So like just like that, this guy, he gets down on his face and he's like, have mercy on me, please, like forgive this debt that I owe to you. Like I owe all this money, please, please, please. I can't go to prison. Like I have flag football on Friday and I can't, I have a band concert on Saturday and I can't, I gotta make it. I gotta be there. And so he falls on his knees, and the crazy thing is that the king looks at him with pity and he cancels the debt and he lets him go. So this man owed, really, talents are, whenever you got 10,000 talents, basically what scripture is trying to tell us is that this is like an unattainable amount of money for this guy. Like he has zero way to possibly ever make this amount of money. It's like he could work his whole life and probably not have this much money to be able to pay somebody while also surviving and eating food and making money and providing for his family. Like, this is an unattainable amount of money. And so the king forgives this servant. So, but then here we go, verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is literally like $100. So he finds this guy who owes him like $100. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." Does it sound familiar? "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." Verse 29, and then also, if you look back, this is exactly the same thing that he said to the king in verse 26. He said, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." So in the same way that he asks for forgiveness and patience from the king, now this servant that he has is asking the same thing of him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But here's the thing, verse 30. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. So time out right there. So this guy is literally just walking out of his master's house with his whole life given back to him, basically, to where he doesn't have to go and be in prison. He doesn't have to go to jail. He doesn't have to lose his family. He doesn't have to lose everything that he has because he owed this debt that was insurmountable. Like, there was no way that he was possibly ever going to pay this back. And he ends up being relieved of this debt. Like, this crazy thing happens. And then he goes on the street, and there's this guy that he knows who works for him and owes him like $100 after he's just been forgiven this major, major debt. And he goes to this guy, owes him $100. He chokes him, has no kindness or compassion towards him whatsoever, even though he was just shown that, and has this guy thrown into prison and says, "You're there until you can pay back the debt." And so his other friends, other servants, see this, and they know what has just happened. And they're like, "Wait, hold on, time out. This isn't right." And so they go and tell the master everything that had happened. And then verse 32. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Now, take all of that story and look at it and know that this is the response to Peter's question. So Peter simply comes to Jesus, maybe with an innocent question, or maybe it is, he's got these kind of motives behind it of, "There's this guy who I'm really frustrated with, who I can't forgive him. Maybe he's done something to me that I just can't get over this." And he's like, "So Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody before, you know, something is done about it?" And so Jesus, in his wisdom and in his goodness, answers with this story and points Peter back to this fact of that our debt was canceled. And so because of that, we should be willing to forgive others who maybe we feel have done wrong towards us. So here's the thing. Each and every one of us in this room owe a debt. Like, from the very moment that we were born with our sinful nature, and we're born with this part of us, this sin that is just offensive to who God is, to his holiness and to his righteousness. And even from the very beginning, when sin enters the world, the punishment for sin is what? It's death. There is no life. There is no joy. There is no peace. None of this is offered in death. And so we are born into this, and we have this debt basically on our head to say, this is something insurmountable, that there is no possible way that we can get rid of this, that we can pay this back, that we can ever, ever work this off. And if this sounds familiar, it should, because this is the gospel, that we owed a debt. Our sin made us deserving of death. But because God sent Jesus, his only son, to the world to live a perfect life for us, we've been talking about this. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for you and for me. And because of that, we have the opportunity to accept his sacrifice for us, to believe in him so that We have life and life to the full. We have eternal life. We can live with him. We know him. We have a relationship. And so even in the past couple weeks, we've been talking about this out of Colossians 3 about whenever God then looks at you and he looks at me, he doesn't see our sinful selves. He sees Jesus. And that's crazy. That whenever he looks at you, he sees righteousness. If Jesus is in you, if he lives in you, if he's covered your sin, then what Jesus sees is righteousness. And as some of you guys, if you were in the main room this morning, I hope you were. Man, we talked about that. We showed videos about that. There was, like, we celebrated that this morning in the main worship service. And I hope that you were there to experience that. And so the fact is, whenever we talk about forgiveness of others and trying to work through issues that we have with other people, God doesn't call us to forgive out of this place of like, hey, you should do this just because I told you to. He calls us to forgiveness because he says, look what I have already forgiven you of. You have this debt that there is no way, there is zero possible way for any of us ever, ever, ever to pay this back. And Jesus says, I sacrificed myself. I gave myself up for you so this debt that you owe to my Father in heaven can be satisfied. And that's another word that we use. It's called atonement. Where this debt, the debt that we owe was satisfied. Christ atoned for us. And I know that we've been using a lot of really big words in here the last couple of weeks, but I feel like it's important for you guys to know this. So Christ did that for us. And so then God literally just turns and looks at us and says, because I've forgiven you, how could you possibly not forgive those around you? How could you possibly not forgive those around you? Even not just once, not just twice, but not just seven times, 70 times seven. Like, there is no limit to forgiveness because God's forgiveness towards us is also limitless. Like, he offers us and extends us his grace that just keeps flowing and keeps pouring out over us that is unstoppable. And so I hope that whenever we get into groups, whenever you dig into a small group this year, anytime that, maybe even not in your small group, maybe you have a group of friends at school or on your team or in your home or wherever you're at, that anytime conflict arises, anytime you feel like you've been done wrong, I hope that one of your first responses, your first response, is to extend forgiveness. And I know that's not an easy thing. But I think that we're called into that because of what God has done for us. And so it isn't a matter of, well, maybe someday I'll be able to forgive them or I'll work my way up to it. Because Scripture calls us to the fact that, no, it's just, you forgive them. You forgive them. And so I think some of us maybe in this room, there's like somebody who comes to your mind immediately whenever I start talking about this. Because you know that either you need to forgive them or you're just frustrated with them. And you're not even looking to forgive them. You're just like waiting for them to do something else wrong so that you can be even more upset with them. And I want to encourage you guys, think about that. And then as we worship even right after this, as we're singing, man, just in your heart while that's happening, begin to even ask God to say, God, I need you to help me to forgive this person. God, I want to be right with you this morning. I want to do that and I need your help. In order to be right before you, I need to forgive this person because how could I not when you have offered me forgiveness for this debt where I deserve death? I deserve nothing. And yet you love me and you gave up your one and only son for me so that I could have life to the full. And so I'm forgiving this person. So I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to have Marissa come on up. And we're just going to sing this morning. And I hope that while we're doing that, you begin to think on what we've talked about this morning and that you even begin to think about maybe somebody in your life who you need to forgive. Because I think that one of the best ways that you can start this school year off is by tying up those loose ends, by forgiving others around us who maybe you still have an issue with. And kind of see where those relationships go then as the year progresses. Because I think God's going to do some really awesome stuff through that. So, let me just pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us. Thank you that because of your Son, because of Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness in you, and that because of that, we can offer forgiveness to those around us. God, would you help us to be bold? Would you help us to to even if we have felt you stirring in our hearts this morning, to forgive those around us. God, would you help us to act on that? Would you help us not just to sit here and do nothing about it when we leave, but would you help us to go out and forgive others because you've forgiven us, and so that we can show others what you have done for us. So God, we love you, and I just pray that as we worship you this morning, that we would do that wholeheartedly, that we would run to you, that we would ask for your help, and that you would just continue to convict our hearts so that we can be a people that forgive and seek redemption and healing and restoration, so that we could look like your kingdom, so that in this room and in our groups, in our small groups, that we would look like you, and we would encourage one another, and that we would just become more and more like Christ. So we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.